Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 464, I'm welcoming to the show Jennifer Pepito.
And there's so much joy, like in the presence of God is fullness of joy. That's what it says. And I think that we won't experience that as long as we're constantly going for counterfeit joys. But when we make space in our lives to sit with the Lord, to read the Psalms as a family, to take a walk and enjoy the beauty of nature, to start to just give thanks for the little things, I think then we will start to experience His joy.
I've realized I created a series unintentionally about keeping your home. And one was a conversation with the Nester on just the actual aesthetics of our home and how we want to use our home and loving what we have. And then with Joanna Weaver, our hearts in the daily tasks of keeping a home. How do we stay connected to God even though we're super busy on the outside? And then today, it's a conversation with Jennifer about habits of a sacred home. And it kind of goes along with my conversation we did a few weeks ago with Melissa Kruger. But I wanted to give you more options. I know every family is so unique, and so I want to connect you with lots of different resources. And Jennifer has crafted this book, Habits for a Sacred Home, where she's researched several women in history and noted how they lived in intense times, faced great despair, hardship, and did so with courage and hope and created a sacred home. So she hopes to learn from their stories, give us this rule of life that possibly we could apply to our homes. As always, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit know what's for your family and what's not. And let's get right to it. Here we go. Jennifer, welcome Hello. Back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
I'm so excited to chat with you today. It's always such a pleasure. It's fun. We've had, between my podcast and yours, we've had several interviews. So I've gotten to see your beautiful face a few times and I love it.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled we get to have another conversation. We share a love for inner healing prayer and God setting us free. And today we're going to just talk about our homes. And I, you know, like with my book, Right Where You Belong, it's kind of been this thing God is pulling me towards, is there's so much right in front of me to steward. And I'm so distracted to want to pursue things that are shinier and out there. And so your book, Habits of a Sacred Home, it kind of, I was like, yes, we need to have this conversation. We need to encourage the mom that there's value in this space. And also, I know you come from like a homeschool background. I'd love to hear even your journey that you've been through in the last few years of like kind of the shift God has pulled you from homeschooling. You know what I mean? And to give the mom permission that this isn't just for the homeschool stay-at-home mom, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I have 7 children and my youngest now is 15.
7 kids is too many.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like I'm just so thrilled and I loved homeschooling. Like it was so much fun. But this year, my youngest two are doing a charter school, which in California means that you have like a public school teacher overseeing your schoolwork. And it's kind of a hybrid. So some of their classes are online. And then they go to pretty much at least one class a day that's outside of the home. And that was the norm for me with high school. Like I would often have my high schoolers do a co-op class or do a community college class because in California you can do dual enrollment and get college credits. So I've never really 100% homeschooled through high school. Yes, I haven't enrolled them in a public school, but normally I still have these younger kids that I could be doing crafts with and playing Play-Doh and watercolor painting and nature journaling and all that stuff that I love so much. Yeah, yeah. But this year, my husband and I, we were missionaries in Mexico for 4 years. And that has still been kind of this undercurrent in our hearts. Like we went to Tanzania in 2017 and did a marriage conference for missionaries. We did a seminar in Mexico with the churches that we used to work with. So we still had this heart for missions. And the last couple of years, we've been pursuing, my husband started and now I'm doing some Bible classes and some missionary training classes so that we, you know, can be pursuing more of that as the Lord leads, which means that I'm outside of the home every day for a few hours, or at least, you know, 4 days a week for a few hours, my kids are going to these classes. So my home is so much different. Like I'm writing a book, Habits for a Sacred Home. And right now I'm living in this ugly little Airbnb. You can kind of see the background. And we're like coming and going, and I'm trying to make, you know, I still come home every day and make dinner, but it's a lot simpler. Like the other night, I actually made a package of orange chicken, like a frozen package of orange chicken and rice. And I'm like, oh, really very crunchy, would not be proud of me right now. So, and I'm not proud of myself. Like it's not all, it's not the dream, but we still, you know, my dad was here last night and we had a birthday cake for him and we sang the doxology and we sang a hymn as we were praying for his birthday. I still read the Psalms and we pray the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer, or just I bless the spirits of my children every evening. Like we still have those sacred habits, even though I don't have all day long to plan for them or hours of my day to walk with my children and talk to them on the way. So it's a different culture this year in some ways, except I'm still plowing and sowing the sacred habits that I've been doing for 26 years with my children.
I actually think it's better. I think it's better that you're in the Airbnb and that you're, I think it invites the mom who's not living in that idyllic, like what we believe is idyllic. We think, oh, well, if only I had the luxury of being home all day, if only I had the patience to want to homeschool my children, if only, then I would have a sacred home. And you're kind of saying, you know what? This isn't this ideal that my past self would have wanted. And I still can infuse these things in my home. So let's define sacred.
Yeah. You know, I part of the book is based on the rule of Saint Benedict. So it's nine practices from history that can anchor and restore modern families. And I really feature different modern Christian women like Edith Schaefer. There's one woman who's not a Christian. She was a Jewish woman that I feature. But they're basically modern or semi-modern, you know, the 50s, women of faith. So those are the women I feature, and I tie in these spiritual disciplines. But what I think about is what Saint Benedict said, is that he was creating schools for the service of the Lord. And so for me, my home is a school for the service of the Lord. Like my children are like my little flock. I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd of this flock. And partly, you know, it's like as a Christian, we're called to go into all the world and make disciples. So my children aren't my only disciples, but I think that it does start, like discipleship does start with our own families. And so it's, you know, as you walk on the way, as you talk, as you lie down. So it's not that the sacred home is like exactly a monastery or something, or it doesn't have, I'm not brewing beer in the backyard and cultivating bees and everything. It's not my dream monastery, but it's not about the decor. It's not about the aesthetic so much as it is about what are we cultivating in our home? Are we, even in the midst of maybe living in something that's less ideal, still praying with our children every day? Are we still praying ourselves? Are we still committing our ways to the Lord and trusting in the Lord, even in a busy modern world?
Yeah. Yeah. So this sacredness is a school in service to the Lord, which is your home.
Yeah.
You said there are these nine principles. Can you list them off and then we'll kind of focus in on some of them?
Yeah. So some of the practices that I talk about in the book are stability and order. So basically in the Benedictine rule, there were several different kind of rules of life or qualities or values that he addressed. And some of them were simplicity, stewardship, order, stability, hospitality, community, prayer, and work. Work was even a big part of his kind of calling to the people. They had a saying that said, ora et labora, which means pray and work. So there was a lot of balance. I think that's what we have to cultivate in our homes, is balance, because there are varying needs. The world is very different. So it's not about trying to kind of copy some Middle Ages spiritual practices so much as it is about living a life that is disciplined, that is welcoming the Holy Spirit, that we're making space in a sense. It's almost like building a good road. You know, if you have a good road, then you can go a lot faster. But if the highway is full of potholes, if there's no discipline, if some days you pray and some days you don't, if some days you make a meal and some days, you know, days on end, you just pull out crackers or something, like there are disciplines that we engage in that in the short term might be a little bit harder, but in the long term, produce fruit. I love Atomic Habits. James Clear talks a lot about that, how short term, there's a little bit of pain in choosing to pray instead of scrolling Instagram, or there's a little bit of pain in choosing to have kind of like a morning routine where you do some basics instead of just moving from one thing to the next without any sense of purpose. But in the long term, there's so much more fruit when we live a life of purpose and discipline.
When you said it quickly, but I want to emphasize it, rules of life, and we've said it on the show before, that's not like rules, do this or do that. It's, I've heard of it like a trellis. It's this firm thing that then allows the growth to happen. So these structures that you place in your life, that then from that structure, you can have what you just said, that fruitfulness and that growth. And so these structures of our home that provide this growth of relationship with God, hearing from Him and serving Him, you know, outwardly, out from the home, like ascending off, which is what you're doing with the 7 kids and your youngest being 15. I'm guessing you already have adults that you're sending out into the world. And are you seeing that fruit?
Yeah, for
sure. That's the goal. We're going to talk about that. Not that that's the goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. My oldest daughter and I, we record the Restoration Home podcast where we talk through a lot of these principles. So it's been a delight to be able to have her share her heart. And I have a son who, him and his wife are involved in a ministry in Pennsylvania. I have another son who's like a student pastor, basically. So my family is, I am seeing fruit from my children, from what we're sowing here. We're sowing here and I see my children loving the Lord and loving us, which is a big desire of mine, to see my children, you know, love their family and love the Lord.
Hey there, busy moms. Let's talk about something we all struggle with, finding time to read the Bible, or even making time, right? Picture this, you finally get your morning cup of coffee poured, you're ready for a moment of peace, but before you even open your Bible, the dog runs in with muddy paws, or you hear the baby crying on the monitor. That sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. As a mom myself, I can't tell you how much Dwell has changed my life. I'm so thankful that when I can't sit down and read the Bible, I can listen to it with Dwell, whether I'm getting ready, whether I'm driving in the car. I love that there are so many soothing voices to choose from. Plus, they have beautiful background music options that create a more meditative experience, and I can even adjust the speed of the narrator's voice to get things just right. Most recently, I've been starting each morning with their newest feature, the Dwell Daily Devotional. It's the best audio devotional around. It's new every day, diving deep into a scripture passage, helping me not only understand it, but pray it, meditate on it, and ultimately soak up God's truths. If you're struggling to find time to read the Bible again, then head over to dwellbible.com/DMA to receive your 25% discount today. Again, that's Dwell, D-W-E-L-L, Bible.com/DMA for your 25% off discount. And don't forget to check out the show notes for that link too. Happy dwelling. Well, and we were saying it is great when you see that fruit. It's awesome. And yet we cannot make that be the ultimate goal because we can only control our own posture towards the Lord and our side of the relationship with God. And we don't get to control our kids.
No.
And so tell us even what you learned about that.
Yeah. I mean, because I have had some kids have struggles on the way to adulthood. Like it has not been all roses and, you know, jelly beans. I don't know. It has not been, I told someone on one podcast, like raising children through the teen and adult years is like, you have to have nerves of steel. Do you know what I mean? Because you've done all this sowing, but you don't necessarily see the fruit in the same season. I think often even of, you know, for the homeschool families listening, there's a few homeschool pioneers or like TV personalities who you thought, oh my gosh, they have it all together. And then you hear something really awful coming out of those families, because even, you know, like in the garden, think about this, in the garden, Adam walked with God. He had the perfect father. He had an intimate relationship with the perfect father, and he still sinned. So for us to think that we could raise children and never have them have any problems is foolish, really. And I think that God doesn't want us to have idols. Like for me, I definitely, as a homeschool mom, listening to some of those early homeschool teachers, I thought, I mean, I'm going to raise perfect children and this will be my identity. I will be a perfect mom and I will raise perfect children. Mm-hmm. And I don't think God wants us to have even our children as an idol, even our identity as a mother as an idol. And so for me, I mean, it was a real shakeup to have a child struggle and have to realize, oh, wait, I am completely dependent on the goodness of God. There is nothing that I can do on my own. I'm completely dependent on the goodness of God. And even this year, like it was a really hard decision for me to sort of let go a little bit. Like I've really prided myself on never using like a public charter school and doing the whole thing privately on my own. 1 year with a special needs child, we had a charter school. And yet this year I've had to like let go of that. And I feel like the Lord said, you know, if you turn towards me, I will bless your family. Yeah. And I have seen some really good breakthroughs in my family as I've actually taken my hands off the wheel a little bit. And that is so hard, I think, for any mother to take their hands off the wheel. And it's hard to find that balance because I think there's often too much in our culture of just letting go and letting somebody else raise our kids, just letting them, you know, they hit the teen years and you let them just sit in their bedrooms all day, all night on their computers with no oversight. There's too much of that. And we're seeing some of the fruit of that. But on the other hand, I think for homeschool moms, especially, there can be a temptation to just operate completely in fear and be overly controlling and not really be putting our trust in the Lord. And I think it's like the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 37:3, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And it's like God is calling us into relationship with him. He's calling us into just intimate union, into that comfortable space of being a daughter of a loving father, of being a son of a loving father, and being in friendship. Like God dwells inside of us. It's the mystery that is Christ in us. And so I think that he's calling us into something greater than just being a fearful, controlling mother or a careless, worldly minded mother.
Yeah. Well, I think you said nerves of steel, like to get through these teen years or to watch our kids kind of falter. And it sounds to me like these rules of life or this creating of a sacred home, while it can be a trellis of growth in our kids, it can also be the sturdiness with which we get those nerves of steel. It's the faith, it's the foundation, it's the faithfulness of God that then is like, oh, okay, the reminder daily, God, you're bigger, God, you're working. Like it's for us moms, not necessarily, okay, I better do this so my kids turn out. It's so that you can walk with grace through the years, you know?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, like in the Benedictine rule, the monks were supposed to read through the whole Psalter every week.
What's the Psalter? Tell us the Psalter.
All the Psalms, like all the Psalms in a week. Okay. And Benedict said that in a week, yes, all 150 Psalms. He said, if you don't, the monk who does not read through all the Psalms in a week is lazy. And it is really interesting because like, I don't read all the Psalms in a week, but if you were reading the Psalms, you would not be able to do anything but trust God. Like if you were filling your mind up, like every single Psalm is like, oh God, I cried out to you and you heard me and delivered me from my fears. The Lord is a refuge to his wings. The Lord will, he will guide us through the dark valleys. Like every single Psalm is an encouragement from the Lord, even in hardship. And if our focus was on that instead of, oh my gosh, look at this mom on Instagram whose kids all gone into Harvard. Oh my gosh, look at this family on Instagram who are all doing ministry together. Like when we look at other people and we're comparing ourselves, it's easy to have despair. But when we trust in the Lord and do good, when we put our focus on the Lord, like we don't know, sometimes the hard things that he carries you through as a mom are because he wants you to have a testimony in that area. And it's like, instead of saying, oh, what have I done wrong? Why, how have I screwed this up so bad? What if we say, I am the clay and you are the potter? You know, what if we put our hands in the Lord? And I just read a book called He Leadeth Me by a priest named Walter Chizek, I think. And he was in a prison camp in Russia for years. He was interrogated by the KGB. I mean, just an awful, awful experience. Mm-hmm. But he said, I realized that my life was in God's hands, that he was moving me from place to place. Mm-hmm. And as I began to embrace that, I was able to not judge myself if things went a different way, and also not live by the praises of men if that was the experience, you know? And so I think as humans, you know, as believers, I love how Tish Oxenrider said, she said, our main goal of life is to say yes to God. And sometimes that yes is watching a child struggle and still praying and trusting in the Lord anyhow. Sometimes that yes is going through a hard patch in your marriage and saying yes to God anyhow. You know, I think that when we go through a trial and we automatically start getting mad at God or thinking that we did something wrong, we're not really saying yes to God, because he is the one who orders our days. And so instead we can say, okay, I'm going to drill down on forgiveness. I'm going to drill down on taking my thoughts captive. I'm going to drill down on maybe some godly grieving, or maybe I'll even pray a generational prayer right now, but I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to change my theology to match my experiences. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep walking in hope. I'm going to keep walking in peace, and I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord.
Yeah. And that's that stability. I was going to read, I was telling you, I had this quote on spiritual discipline, which discipline always has a negative connotation. I don't know if you feel that way, but discipline your kids can be feel so negative, and it's rooted in discipleship, we know, but I've even found myself getting away from the disciplines that I used to pursue because there are so many distractions. There's so many noises and things and needs. And this was a good reminder that a spiritual life without discipline is impossible. And the reasoning goes with what you're saying. If we're saying yes to God, we have to be able to hear what he's asking, right? We have to hear him. And so this says, the practice of a spiritual discipline makes us more sensitive to the small, gentle voice of God. It is through the practice of a spiritual discipline we become attentive to that voice, willing to respond. And what I'm going to fast forward, skip ahead to, he says, in the word absurd, we find the Latin word surdus, which means deaf. So yeah. If we're feeling that pull and like we're in this world and it's just absurd and it's crazy and the secular is like getting to us, there's a reason. It is deafening our ears to hear from the lover of our souls. Like, I feel that. I feel that pull. And so this life of like what you're saying, creating these habits that kind of clear away all the noise and sharpen our hearing. And it's so interesting in Hebrew and in Latin, obedience is connected to listening. Yeah. They're like inseparable. To hear is to obey. And so that's all God asks us to. Live a faithful life is to hear and obey.
Yeah. It says, be still and know that I'm God. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons you and I are both passionate about inner healing is because I think what often keeps moms distracting themselves is that they're scared to face what's inside. Do you know what I mean? Like the thoughts of pain or the negative thoughts they have towards themselves, or even some of the things their parents said to them, are such big voices in their head that if they stop and are still, they won't have the capacity to deal with that. I just interviewed Kimberly June Miller, who's a Christian therapist who does parts work, so internal family systems. And she said, we're so used to being overstimulated that we're uncomfortable with the spaciousness of just being with our children because it surfaces those painful feelings we've been suppressing through busyness. Mm. But when you have tools, like for me, yesterday I was going through, like, you know, we're getting ready to go on a mission trip to Argentina. And I was going through like a little bit of contention with my husband because we just bought a house. We're going on this big trip. So many big things happening all at once. And just emotions were high. Plus which I just had my period. So, you know, I think women, we do have to start to take into account our hormonal changes. And so all this was going on and we got in this little like tiff. And I was just, you know, I was really frustrated, but I sat with the Lord because I was angry. Like in the shower, I was like, And I think I said a couple of bad words to the Lord, actually. I was angry.
You can handle it. Yep.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I sat with the Lord quietly and I felt like God said, just let me love you. Let go of worrying about your kids and trying to manage everyone and just let me love you. And that gave me so much peace. Like having him speak to me about the situation. Like, and first, you know, I think there is a process. Like we have to go through the godly grieving. We have to do forgiveness. But when we go through that process, when we make space in our lives that we actually could go through that process, then we hear from the Lord and we get a word that will carry us through. Yeah. You know, we're my husband and I are setting out to do something that's like amazing. Like we get to go minister in schools and churches down there and it's going to be amazing. And so of course the enemy is going to bring contention and strife and lies to us. But if we can just sit still with the Lord for a minute and work through that process. And I talk about it, Mothering by the Book. I know that you talk about it in your books and Don't Mom Alone. And so if we can sit through that process,
yeah,
then we can make the space to hear from the Lord that where we'll have a word to go on. We'll have a word to go on. And if you can't get that word, read the Psalms, because that will give you a word to go on.
All 150 every week. As moms, we are the ones that decide what gets added into our family culture, these rhythms, these rules of life. We also are the keepers of the calendar. Am I right? And I want to help you because I know how stressful it can be to get your family all on the same page. And so I've found the Skylight Calendar, which is a smart touchscreen calendar. And it is an organizer that keeps all the chores, groceries, to-do lists, and manages appointments all in one place, making sure nothing overlaps, nothing gets missed. It helps keep our busy household on track and everybody on the same page so we can focus on what actually matters, right? Like I want to use my energy for these disciplines, not for trying to keep up with sports or practices or events coming up this month. Skylight Calendar is so easy to set up and use. I literally plugged it in. I followed the prompts. I synced it with our existing family calendar. If you use Google or Apple or Outlook, you're going to find that it syncs so easily. And then you can add any new events just using features on the calendar. My 12-year-old figured it out. I think it's so simple. And like I've told you before, I love the chore chart feature that creates these positive habits. And I guess you could even add in some of the habits that Jennifer's talking about. I love that I could color code each child. I put the habit or the chore in there. Once they complete it, it does like a little celebratory confetti fall on the screen. And it creates kind of a little competition between the boys because they can see in the kitchen who has and who hasn't completed that habit. It's kid approved. You can add emojis. You can make it more fun. And it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you do not love the Skylight Calendar, you'll receive a full refund. They offer a 120-day money-back guarantee and free returns. I also love if you have their Skylight Plus account, it can become a digital picture frame, which is always great to remind the family of past memories and just connection. As a special limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/alone. That's skylightcal.com/alone. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/alone. Yes, so let's talk about these practices and like how we would realistically, let's say, you know, because my kids are older, and if we're not implementing these practices, it might be like, Mom, stop. What are you doing? It could feel like we're back to that controlling.
Yeah. Health. And you know, for me, like I do, I have teenagers, they have online classes. So they have lots of excuses to be on their phones. They actually have like a boyfriend or a girlfriend right now, which that's a whole new ballgame for us because we were in the period culture earlier on. Yeah. So, you know,
a lot of time. It's a lot of
attention. All kinds of like things that we're going through, but I this is my castle. This is my monastery, this little Airbnb. And so I still, in the evenings, I call my kids, I read a psalm, and we either recite the Apostles' Creed, we say the Lord's Prayer, I will say a blessing over them. Like, even though they are moving into adulthood, if they live in my home for free, I have the right to call them for prayer once a day. You know what I mean? And so I think as moms, we just have to start to recognize, like, and I think that's part of understanding authority a little bit. Like I heard someone say last week that what you submit to, you get the power of that entity. You know, we are American citizens, so we have the protection of our government. And, you know, when you're in a powerful church, you have the protection in a sense, or the authority maybe, or maybe the anointing even of that church as a covering. In your marriage, we have the authority of our husbands as a covering in a sense. And I know that for us modern Christians are like, nobody's over me. I'm like, I've got nobody. But I think that, you know, as parents, we are called to nurture our children. That's clear in the Bible. And so I think at the very least, as Christian parents, just have your children read the Bible with you once a day. Or, you know, I think there are basic things we can certainly ask. And for sure, we can't control. There's a sense that it's like, in my home, I don't feel any problem with calling my children to read a psalm to them. And maybe if you've never done that, maybe it's just going to be a single verse. Or maybe you just have like a 15-minute family talking time where you just talk about the issues of the day and ask them how they felt about the day. Like, I think having if you don't have it now, it's not too much to ask to pull your family together once a day. And it's interesting because there's an Instagram lady I follow who's, I don't know that she's a believer of any kind. She might be, I'm not sure. She doesn't talk about her faith, but she does talk a lot about her family and how strong her family culture was. And she was from an Italian family. And so there's just like this sense of culture and community. And I think as evangelical Christians, we've lost that. That's why I included a Jewish woman in my book talking about community, because the Jews for thousands of years now have kept the same culture.
Yeah.
Partly because the parents have no shame in passing on the culture of their kids. Like, it's a mandate for them. You know, I interviewed a modern Avital Schreiber, a modern Jewish woman on my podcast. Every Sabbath, all the phones go in the drawers for 24 hours.
Totally.
So that spiritual practice of, as a family, saying, we're not going to have our phones out for 24 hours. That is a, like, a rule of life. It's a spiritual discipline for them. And then they do make space to experience God, or just at least enjoy each other. Because I think that's the worst thing about, you know, modern Christian parents not having any rules about phone use, not having any like family time that's set in stone in a sense. The problem is that we have no way then of passing on our values to our children. And they are definitely having values passed on to them through their phones. And it's not necessarily our values. Like, my kids are not looking at the same content as me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel that conviction. We even had that conversation last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I would say, like, even going back to the Jewish Shabbat, Sabbath, I was impressed when I witnessed one in Israel.
Yes.
I will brag here.
Yes.
But the fact that the kids were invited in such a like chaotic way, like, this was not absolutely super, like, there's structure to the meal, there's structure to the prayer, but it was chaos. And it was comfortable to be chaotic. And I think that we've seen that when we gather with our small group for a Shabbat meal. We can only do it once a month. We can pull it off, but if that. But it's chaos and it's fantastic. It's like, this does not need to be what we imagine in our head is like super structured and perfect. And to give that freedom of whatever it is. I mean, like I told you, I interviewed Melissa Kruger, and she was talking about how their family, it was breakfast that she was like, and some people were like, how do you manage that with the teens and all the stuff? And she's like, you know, what works for you? When is your time? Figure it out. You know, if it's Sunday night, like, I feel like pretty much there's low commitment Sunday night, then that's your time. If it's sometime every day, whatever the time is for your family, I think this is an invitation to own that's okay to own. And that it matters.
The thing is, our teens still need us. Like, it's funny because you can kind of start to think, oh, they don't really even want to be around me. Like, they have their friends, they have their phones. They don't even really want to be around me. But when I sit there and I put my phone down and I'm available, they want to talk. Like, if I take them out for food, they have things to say. And so I think, you know, if you have to start this practice by saying, hey, once a week, I'm going to take you guys to coffee and we're going to read the Bible together. We're going to pray together. Or, hey, once a week, we're going to take a walk as a family and we're going to just talk about a psalm that I read this week. Like, you know, make it fun at first. Like if you're just trying to establish some kind of family spiritual disciplines, and obviously it has to start with you, because if you, you know, I listened to another, a dad and his daughter talking, and the parents had actually very little control over their daughter. Like they gave her a lot of freedom, and I don't know the exact ins and outs of it, but it sounded like she was very autonomous in a way in her teen years. And yet she's pursuing ministry as an adult. And partly she said, because the example she saw her parents set, the way that they were engaged in their own spiritual disciplines and they were engaged in loving others. And so I think, you know, if all you can do is just set the example, then that's all you can do, but at least do that.
Yeah. Talk to us about stewardship. What would that look like as setting a habit of a sacred home?
Yeah. And you know, I loved reading that part of the Rule of Saint Benedict, because they were very intentional, even about the way they use their tools. Like they did not own anything. And so to them, everything they had was God's. And it's funny because often in our modern culture, not owning things leads to more disrespect. You know, people don't own the subway and they graffiti and do
or like
horrible
an
things
Airbnb.
All over.
And yeah, Airbnb, exactly. Like we have them all around us. And when I hear people there, like the partying and the like chaos,
yeah,
you know, I think about the poor owner and like what is happening to this home.
But the thing with the Benedicts is that everything belonged to God. And so they had that idea that even they say that in the rule that like even the smallest tool is sacred. Even the potato peeler is sacred. It's a gift from God. It's a tool for the service of the Lord. And so then there was a sense that we're going to take care of what we have. And they, you know, as in most of Christian history, there wasn't a lot of excess. Like they didn't have more than they could steward. And I think that's something to think about in our Christian lives, because as mothers, so often we're like, oh, I have 10 pillows on my couches, but there's cute pillows at Target, so I'm going to buy them. Or, oh, I have 10 sweaters in my closet, but there's a nice cute sweater. And so we keep buying more things. And then if we started adding up the hours it's taking us to steward all that, we realize, oh, wow, there's probably other things I could do with that time, like sit in the sun with my feet in the grass and help heal my vagus nerve. You know, in my restoration home group, we had a month where we spent 15 minutes a day decluttering. And several of the families said that they actually experienced calmer children and a more peaceful home just by getting rid of some of the excess stuff. You know, so when we learn how to just kind of be more intentional, even in our daily lives, about like, am I taking care of the things I have? And the example, because each chapter in the book, Habits for a Sacred Home, ties with a woman of faith. And so in this case, we talk about Mary McLeod Bethune, who started the first college for Black women in Florida. And she, you know, earned like many awards for her work. But she started out as the child of former slaves with nothing, like not even access to education. But every single opportunity she had, she treated it as if it was a gift from the Lord. She was thankful for it. She stewarded it. And she ended up making such a huge impact, especially for Black women coming after the Civil War. Just changed the world. Changed the world. And just such a simple person with so few resources, and yet she changed the world. And I think that's the main message of this book, is each of the women I feature, they were simple people in a way, like just doing little things with great love, and it changed the world.
That's it. Right where they belong. Using the gifts where they are and not trying to be this showy situation. Is there a favorite discipline or habit or a favorite woman you featured that you'd want to, before we have to wrap it up, you want to share with us?
I think Edith Schaefer is actually one of the favorite people I feature. I feature Elizabeth Elliot, Edith Schaefer, Amy Carmichael, Madeline L'Engle. So some really amazing women, and I love them all so much. But Edith Schaefer, she was such a hard worker and so creative. And I mean, the fruit of her work, because her daughter, Susan Schaefer McCauley, wrote two of like the seminal books for homeschool moms, you know, For the Children's Sake and For the Family's Sake. And For the Family's Sake is not at all a homeschool book. Like it's just a book for moms who care about their homes or their families. But, you know, just her, she wrote so many books. She was very creative. very, like, great attention to detail. And people who knew her had such a good rapport. And they basically opened their home to students, and the students could come in and question things. And some people had some, like, later on, one of her children wrote kind of a nasty book about his parents. But still, there was not much negative they could say about her. She just had made such an impression with her hospitality. And Oz Guinness, he wrote, I can't remember the name of the book right now. It's one that's like about margin. But he sung her praises, like a great Christian leader. So there was several Christian leaders who came out of that ministry. And most of it was Edith Schaefer baking bread and putting out tea and changing sheets and in between writing amazing, thoughtful, deep books.
Man. And we can feel less than, right? Like, Or like hospitality can feel like you have to do all the things and be impressive. But how have you found, like, even in your Airbnb, like you said, you had your dad over and cake, like if we par hospitality all the way down to the basics, what do you find as a habit with hospitality?
Well, you know, in some ways that maybe the habit that we need to cultivate is a little bit of imperfection, because I'm serious. Like, we're in it's a really small Airbnb, like maybe 1,000 square feet. I have 3 children living with me, and then my parents are here. So we kicked our son out of his bedroom. He slept on the couch that's right behind me last night, so my parents could have his little bed. You know, I made a little meal, but I served like a Trader Joe's tiny little sheet cake and ice cream. It wasn't nothing fancy about it, but it's like, these are my parents, and I'm going to honor my parents, because the Bible says honor your father and mother, and I'm going to open my home to my own parents. You know what I mean? These are my children. Like, I'm going to do the best I can with what I have to nurture my children. And it might not be perfect, but there's part of our life where we have to say yes to God. And if He calls us into a season where we're saving money for something, like there's a mom on Instagram, I think it's like Mackenzie Little Farm Life or something. She's living in, you know, an 800 square foot log cabin with her children. And quite a few, like maybe 5 children or something, because they have this dream. And so they're sacrificing in one area so they can serve the Lord in another area. And I think there are so many beautiful examples of that, of people who they love not their lives unto death. You know, it's like that's what the Bible says. They love not their lives unto death. The Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, they love not their lives unto death. And so I think, you know, the Bible also says, he who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. It's like, and I think, I mean, we're running the race for the joy set before us. And there's so much joy, like in the presence of God is fullness of joy. That's what it says. And I think that we won't experience that as long as we're constantly going for counterfeit joys. But when we make space in our lives to sit with the Lord, to read the Psalms as a family, to take a walk and enjoy the beauty of nature, to start to just give thanks for the little things, I think then we will start to experience His joy.
Where could a mom start today if she hears this and she's like, oh man, feels like I need to redo all the things, and she's overwhelmed, she's just like paralyzed? Give her one little nugget for today.
Yeah, you know, I think always the best place to start is with forgiveness. You know, that's one of the spiritual disciplines I actually talk a lot more about in Mothering by the Book. But I think so often what keeps us from really engaging in spiritual disciplines is bitterness. Like, we're holding on to, you know, anger at our parents or anger at the government or anger at our children or whoever it is, like whoever's wronged us. But I think that when we get to the other side of that by forgiving, you know, forgive us our trespasses, this is why we pray the Lord's Prayer as a family often. It's like, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a daily practice to engage in. And when you start to get that daily practice, just say the Lord's Prayer every day, then I think you will be able to make more space for a good, healthy morning routine that includes some prayer and Bible reading, a time of peace that's carved into your life, a balance of work and prayer. Like, in, you know, each chapter ends with some potential spiritual disciplines you can engage in. And we really guide through, we guide families through writing their own rule of life, so that by the end of the book, you can print out a poster that has your family rule of life and sort of go back to it. Because I think, you know, having some kind of a vision, then you can start to work towards that 1% improvement, just little baby steps towards a more peaceful life. towards a more God-centered life. And I think really though, it starts with, it's like, thank you, God, for forgiving me of all of my sins. And because of your forgiveness, I choose to forgive whoever that person is. And then once we work through that forgiveness, then we have more spaciousness to hear from God and to be directed by him in which spiritual disciplines to start with.
Well, this conversation was rich. Y'all just were blessed. Thank you, Jennifer. We'll put links in the show notes to your new book and to your podcast. And I just thank you so much. And I hope that your trip to Venezuela is very – or no, what did you say? Argentina?
Argentina. Don't cry for me.
Don't cry for me. Won't do it. I won't do it. Well, enjoy Argentina, and I hope we get to chat soon.
Thanks. So excited to have this opportunity today, Heather. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all, again for joining me. Thank you to, I know last week's episode, a lot of you reached out with such kind words, specifically related to the discouragement I'd felt, and I really, really appreciate that. Y'all are so good about talking to me, sharing the show, writing reviews. I mean, y'all are literally the best audience I could ask for. I hope that in this episode, you're able to think through what your main distractor is from spiritual practices. What's pulling your attention away from those things? And Jennifer talked about this swing from being a fearful, controlling mother or a careless, worldly-minded mother. Do you swing towards one or the other? These are great discussion questions that my VA Megan has written for our podcast clubs. And if you want an excuse to get together with other moms, we have podcast clubs. You listen to the podcast on your own, you get together and you discuss the show, and we provide you with questions. And so if you're interested in that, you just go to my website, heathermcfadyen.com, and you'll see there's a link to join or just to sign up to get those questions. I'm going to pray over us in our journey as moms who are crafting these sacred homes. Lord, I thank you that no matter where we are, I know Jennifer is now outside of the United States in a foreign place and in a home that's not even her own. But Lord, even in that space, she can create a place for you to dwell with them, for you to move. And I pray, Lord, that while the world keeps tugging at our attention and distracting us from the eternal things, the unseen things, that we would keep our mind, our hearts fixed on you. It's so easy for me, I know, to get pulled in to all the things that seem important and that really aren't going to provide the firm foundation for our families long term as they go off to their different homes and spaces. Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us know how to implement these things, not to be overwhelmed, but to think of one thing that we could start with. Lord, I pray for your guidance in that. I pray for encouragement for any mom who is feeling beat down and overwhelmed, that you would breathe just a fresh air of peace and calm into her heart and mind right this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for your encouragement again and all your kind reviews and sharing on socials. Super, super, super helpful. And I will see you. Let's see. I get to see you on Friday with a special sidetracked episode with my friend Cynthia Yanoff. So make sure you're subscribed so that pops in your inbox on your podcast player. All right. Adios. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.